KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, welcome, and thank you, Megan. That was a very professional introduction. I'm not worthy. Man, oh, man. We'll be taking the Good Gardening Stroll shortly, but if you have any questions or concerns about your outdoors, my goodness gracious, this warm weather is just absolutely unbelievable. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with questions or comments. Boy, the unfortunate thing is we all kind of, even with plant material, we know that every year things are going to be different. There's going to be changes, this and that. Probably most people turned off their irrigation systems. I don't have an irrigation system, but I shut off my faucets, outside faucets. It is so dry, the plant material, it'd be real interesting to see what happens. But, you don't know. But anyway, we get together every Saturday morning. Well, not every Saturday morning. I wasn't here last week. To discuss your yard, landscape, garden, houseplants, potting mixes, how you're going to improve your soil, the best way to do it. Pruning, bugs, diseases, planting, removal. You can certainly still plant any kind of woody plant material. Yes, trees and shrubs. And also bulbs. You can get those bulbs if you haven't gotten around to it. There's still some available at the garden center, so you can still purchase and plant. And then, remember my words, just open opportunities. After that, it's going to take work on your part, mental and physical both. In this great marathon called gardening, then forget the sprinting. You sprint to something, you're not going to be happy with it I guess you could be happy for that fast. But anyway, this is your show, and I certainly appreciate you being here. Thanks to Greg, he's producing, and he has been producing the Garden Hotline for quite a while. He's getting very knowledgeable, and I think he's going to try to overthrow me and take over the Garden Hotline. I'm starting to get that feeling. I'm Mike Miller, and I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994, written 5 gardening books. 2 are currently available at various locations, and also I write articles for the Missouri Gardener magazine. So during the week, I do landscape consulting, which I call a walk and talk. So you can go to my website, www.mikemillerdesigns.com. Homepage, email address, and phone number is right there where I can be reached. And a gift certificate if you'd like to give a good gardening stroll. No, you want to walk and talk. If you want to give that to somebody, you can just contact me and I can email you the gift certificate. And Good Gardening Stroll today is brought to you, as always, by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Steps off right now. Boy, morning, those early lights. There was a clock tower. Wow. Rocketing upward. Unique roof line adds to a dramatic setting. White accent lighting steps forward from the sidewalk up to entrances into the building. There are at least 7, if not more, huge wreaths, 4 or 5 feet across with great red bows. And they run along a linear architectural feature that's highlighted by lighting as well. On the west end of the building, the tree trunks are wrapped with blue and or white lights, which play against the building's stonework. Boy, oh boy. Crows were out. They were flying all over the place. In the distance, I couldn't see them, but I could certainly hear them. But there was some kind of flock. I think it's starlings that do this. They fly together in big masses, and they were swirling all over the red tile roof of this building. A light sign over an arched entranceway tells where this is, St. Louis Union Station. And then right across the street, on Market Street, of course, the granite, pink granite stone creates a rectangular pool where people and sea creatures stand frozen in time. But unfortunately, this time of year, there's no water. So these poor creatures. This is the aloe fountain. It's dormant, just like all the surrounding trees and lawn. There are a few areas in the park across where the aloe fountain is that are lower spots. So this is where all the needles from the bald cypress collect and all the fallen leaves as well. So the sky was starting to get brighter and lighter and everything else. So I thought, well, it must be time to head down to the station. So Again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Questions, comments, or concerns about houseplants and the outdoors as well. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments about the outdoors, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. First call of the day is going to be someone from Kirkwood. Sarah, how are you today?
Just fine, thank you.
Great.
I have a question about my rose garden. I have 20 rose plants, and each year I have a special way of winterizing and mounding the dirt over the center and everything, but I'm like, this weather has me confused on, do I just need to still wait till some heavy frosts or what? I'm just was wondering what you would have to say, what advice you have for me.
I think you got to wait. I mean, if you do it too soon, you're going to cause some major problems. The same with all the pruning, although many people have called into the show and said they've already pruned the roses, they've already done this, they've already done that. But you're better off to wait and let the weather dictate rather than just, you know, sort of like scheduling it and saying, well, I want to get this over with and get it done. So just, you know, just wait. And there's going to be some cold weather coming, I would assume. I don't think we're in some sort of global warming thing quite yet. But just hold off and just, get everything ready. It sounds like you've been doing it for a long time. You know how to sequence everything and just hold off.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, good luck with that. And now let's go to Laura. Laura is in Illinois. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Mike. I have a question also about roses. I'm having problems with the knockouts. In the summer, at one point, it looked like something was eating them, and I sprayed something on it. It might have been Japanese beetles at that point. I'm not seeing any insects, but the rose bushes have that same appearance. Is there anything to put on there at this time of year, or should I just do, like, a dormant oil?
Don't do a dormant oil, because you're going to be pruning your roses soon, I would assume. But this time of year, you could do some major problems just for the winterizing type thing. So dormant oil is going to be when the plants are dormant, but coming out of wintertime. And insect-wise, there's nothing really going to be chewing too much. There's not too many insects out there that are going to should be chewing on your foliage, if that's what you're speaking of. Now, there was...
It's like they're losing their leaves, and it's just...
Well, they should be losing their leaves this time of year. I have four knockout roses in pots. Basically... I would say close to 80% of the leaves on my roses are yellowish. The only growth that is not yellow is the newest growth, and it's still producing, you know, buds and everything else. So that's, you know, they're just headed towards dormancy. Even though the weather is not, let's say, dramatically cold yet, the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And so consequently, the roses are just reacting to the shortness of the daylight, basically.
Okay. And then you said as far as the dormant oil, that doesn't go on until?
Until, I mean, basically, let's say after Valentine's Day, before the, you know, before mid-March or something like that, before the new growth begins.
Okay,
but
great.
If you've had problems with insects, and I'm assuming that's what it is, also look at a type of insecticide. Dormant oils, all they do is suffocate whatever eggs are on the stems of your plant material. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't go. It doesn't get absorbed in or anything else. So it's like suffocation. But there is insecticides, you know, systemic insecticides that you put on the ground. You water it in. It comes up through the root system, the vascular system, and then when insects feed on the leaves or whatever, it kills them that way. That might be a more effective way than using dormant oil.
Okay. Great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Sure. And again, the dormant oil, you know, it has to cover the insects. It just doesn't do anything just to spray it. But if you do, you know, if you think you have egg problems or insects that you can actually see, you can use a summer weight oil, too, during the summertime. But just to spray without getting in contact with the insects, it's not doing all that much good. So thanks, Laura. And now let's go to Chuck. And he's in Shiloh, Illinois. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Mike. I got a question about an azalea I've had planted now for about 5 years. Kind of in the shade, not necessarily the best spot for it, but It's surviving. It just finished a full flowering. What the heck is going on?
It's called, you know, those quirky type things happen. So it got really cool. Remember, I guess it was in early November or so when the temperatures got down in the 20s for a couple nights, the plants just kind of freaked out and then it warmed back up. So the azalea, they don't know. They don't have a calendar to look at or anything else. So I just thought, well, okay, winter's over. Now it's time to bloom. So the unfortunate thing is it's not going to be able to set flower buds for next spring. So you're not going to get any flowers at all for next spring.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because it is. Yeah, you're right. It was right around the cold snap, and it was just like it was spring.
Right, exactly. So the plant material, azaleas are a little bit, they're a little bit iffy when it comes to that type thing. Usually, forsythia, the deciduous yellow flowering shrub in the springtime, I've seen a few forsythia, not the entire thing in bloom, but I've seen buds coming out and opening up with that. So it's just the plant material is just getting tricked by, our weather circumstance.
Got it. Okay, and a couple years ago, Mike, you recommended to me to use for Bermuda grass turf lawn ultra ester, and it's dangerous stuff. But
right,
I got one of those yards that has it was inherited Bermuda grass from wherever, and it, like you say, you never really be able to kill it. But that ultra ester, even though it has to be applied when the Bermuda grass is growing,
right?
We kind of dilute the recommended mixture because we found that if we follow the label directly in the summertime, it's not only going to kill the Bermuda, but it's going to stress the fescue out, obviously. So that stuff works, but if folks are going to use it next spring and summer, they just got to dilute it down a little bit.
I agree. And that's kind of with anything, and especially with any kind of chemical you've never used before. I always recommend reading the label and following those rates, but it's always better to kind of start off with less than what is recommended and just see what the reaction is in your individual situation, because just like we were talking about in your yard, you don't know the exposure and everything else. The soil types, triggered some things that happen with your azalea. It could trigger, lots of different other things that would not be the same thing that maybe a half a mile away, quarter of a mile away, one block away that would be happening. So it's always better to kind of tweak things until you become real familiar with the product.
Got it. Yes, sir. So thank you, Mike. Thanks for being on my show.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. Well, let's don't take a break yet. Let's keep going. Kermit in St. Charles. Hi, Kermit.
Hi. I got a garden here in the backyard, and I got a problem with the real fine hair roots growing at the top of it. It keeps coming back.
What kind of roots?
The real fine, look like hair roots. But I tell you what I got. I got a pine tree about 40 or 50 foot high, and I got another tree on the right there, the old hackenberry tree. And I kind of think it's come. I watered it, and when I get done watering it, a couple days later, you see those roots in there. You go digging in there, and the fine hair roots come through there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So the tree's root system is going to go beyond how far the branches extend on the tree. So they go about 10% beyond that. And that's where all the feeder roots are. So that's where most of the root hairs are at the end of the branches. So that's where the nutrients and moisture. And then you've created this garden, and the trees are smart enough to know, wow, this is a great place. So they're probably sending extra roots, into that area because it's easy growth. They're not having to struggle along like in heavy-duty clays or something like that. And there's really not too much you can do.
But there ain't. I thought maybe if I'd get some mulch, get me a load of mulch and regular mulch for a garden and put a little top of that, maybe it won't come back so fast.
Well, you're just, if you do that, if you put enough mulch to, let's say, stymie the growth of the root hairs, it's going to be too much mulch to be able to grow anything else. Now, what you can do is, build a raised bed with composite wood, which is a sawdust plastic mixture, or stones or whatever, and then backfill that with a compost topsoil mix. And then that's one way to sort of stymie the root system, root hair growth. But still, ultimately, they're going to, you know, kind of slowly but surely move into that area as well.
Okay, well, what kind of topsoil do you recommend for a garden?
Basically, just a topsoil compost mix. So make sure that you get a blend of, you know, compost with a topsoil.
Okay. But that crazy roots will come right back out there. I even dug a trench around it, you know, dug down into the clay dirt.
Oh, yeah.
I can hit all kinds of roots all the way around.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, that's really an indication. Do you have another place to move your garden that's away from these trees?
No, I could, I guess, in my yard, but I don't know if I want to mess with my yard too much.
But I mean, you're dealing with these trees, and these trees are brutes. Look how big they are and everything else. So they are, you know, and people go out there and they'll start chopping off roots and everything else, and they start damaging their trees. So it is, you know, it's kind of a nasty combination of trying to do too many things in one location.
Okay, thanks a lot. I thought that was from the trees. I wasn't sure.
Right.
But I might just give me some topsoil and maybe try to stay above it if I can.
Yeah. You know, put some, you know, build it up a foot or so, and then backfill it with, you know, topsoil compost mix, and then, you know, just
go
from
there. What do you ask for at the place you buy it?
Well, you can go. Just ask for a blend of topsoil and compost. They have blends. St. Louis Composting has it if you want to contact them.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Winterfest at the Arch is back this year. In the beautiful new Keener Plaza, you'll find an ice skating rink, a live blues watch party, winter market, free hockey clinics, and more. You can even rent the rink out for your own private party.
Join Gateway Arch Park Foundation, the St. Louis Blues, Jed Limousine, and KMOX at Winterfest at the Arch. The ice rink is open now through January 1st.
To get in on all the winter fun, check archwinterfest.com for skate times and events. That's archwinterfest.com.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. As I said before, you still got plenty of opportunities to get those tulips, daffodils, crocus, grape hyacinths, get those bulbs planted. Just make sure that the area that you're going to plant them is very well drained. That's the worst thing for bulbs, is a poorly drained situation, site, whatever it happens to be. So that is essential. So just to kind of, well, I have heavy-duty clay soil and I want to have some color here in the springtime, so I'm going to put some bulbs there. The chances of that survival of those bulbs, if you haven't pre-prepared the soil, then it's going to be pretty minimal. And everybody tries to blame it on the squirrels, but it's not the squirrels. It's usually bad soil preparation. David lives in Illinois. David, how are you today?
I'm well, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
I've got a couple of two concerns about one situation. I have about 150 hosta plants that I grow in pots outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about it being so dry. I overwinter them outside.
Right.
I don't want them to get too wet, but right now it's awfully, awfully dry. And they haven't been watered in a while. What should I do? Number one, as far as the wetness going into the winter. And number two, do you cut the leaves, the dried, the desiccated leaves off the top, or do you keep them there and wait till next spring to clean them up?
You can cut them off if you want to now. They're not doing anything. The advantage of getting rid of them now is in case there's slugs or snails or whatever on the underside of the leaf or those type things, that
right.
You know, eradicates the problem. So just don't cut them off and let them drop. Just cut them off and get rid of them. Now, how long have you been growing them in pots?
Oh, I'd say 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so basically then they're probably pretty tough. They're, you know, really, they're a durable plant. But I would say if you can, definitely get them watered. Because,
it's,
you know, the soil is dehydrated. But like I said, they are really tough. So they can probably handle it because they have that massive root system. And they can, you know, make it through these dry spells. But the disadvantage of not watering is simply there's air pockets in the soil. Then if we get a really horrible cold snap very fast, cold air is going to sink into the air pockets in the soil around the root systems, and it could damage the roots. It's not going to kill the hosta more than likely, but it could cause them to, let's say, suffer a little bit.
So I wouldn't slightly water.
No, I would say, I'm assuming your pots are, you know, if they've survived, have drainage holes. So
yes,
I would water enough, pour, you know, either with a hose or however you're going to do it, enough till you start to see some water coming out of the drainage holes.
Okay, so just a normal watering.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Appreciate your show, man. Love you so much. God bless you. Have a good Christmas and all that.
Well, same to you. Thank you very much. And as you know, this is your show. If you weren't there, I would not be here. So let's go to John. And John's on. John, do you live on Highway 44? Wow. You're a tough guy.
Yeah, I can get you almost all the way down to Camdenton. I'm on the way back from the lake.
Wow, great.
I got two questions for you. One about roses and one about grapevines.
Okay.
Why are rose hips called hips?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. Because they look like, roses are in the apple family, basically. So why don't they call them rose apples? I don't know.
And the other thing, on the grapevines, I got the grapevines growing on white plastic trellis, and the plastic is getting, they're looking ugly. During the summer, it's green on it. During the winter, it's black on it.
Right.
After I prune the vines this winter, is there some safe way to clean the trellis without damaging the grapevines?
I would say maybe try some vinegar.
Vinegar?
Yeah, vinegar, just, you know, regular white vinegar, you know, with, you know, some kind of, not a sponge, but, you know, something that kind of could kind of scrape a little bit. Maybe one of those type of sponges that have the very coarse backside on the sponge.
Oh, yeah.
Just
try. What you're talking about. I've got some of those, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just try some vinegar. Vinegar is a very good cleaner on lots of different things. If the vinegar doesn't work, then, you know, just try soap and water. But I would try the vinegar first because it's kind of an organic circumstance.
All right. So neither that. I was thinking about using insecticidal soap.
Well, you could, but that's kind of expensive to do. So I would think just regular, like, you know, dishwashing soap and water, and either that and or vinegar. You know, alternate, find out which one's going to work the best for you, and then choose and just do that.
Okay. So neither of those will hurt the dormant vines.
Right, exactly. Neither one at all will hurt.
All right. I'll do that.
Perfect. Well, good luck with that. Yeah, I have some trellises. I have a trellis, you know, sort of like lattice around my air conditioner. And it's plastic. I've had it for several years, and it's starting to look, it used to be white. Now it's kind of going kind of gray. So it's about time for me to start trying to clean it. What I did, though, is originally when I bought it, I always generally buy, when I get something like that for the yard, two of everything. So I can just maybe just leave this where it is for a while and just get rid of it and then put the other one that I have sitting in the garage to replace it. So, yeah, it's a lot of work to, you know, with plastic, wood, or anything. So good luck with that, John. And let's go now to Steve. And Steve is in St. Charles. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
I have bushes in my front yard that are pretty, but I don't know their name. And they get a scale on them that looks about like dandruff.
Oh, yeah. So that's basically what that is, a scale. So next year, after Valentine's Day, those little white specks is an insect, and you need to spray a dormant oil. Right. This is a euonymus. It's probably Manhattan euonymus, actually. So Greg's showing me actually a picture of it. I guess you sent him a picture.
He's got the picture already. Okay, great.
So good. You need to spray the dormant oil. Don't expect the scale to fall off.
Okay.
You're probably going to spray the dormant oil in February / up to mid-March. And then in the summertime, go ahead and get a summer weight horticultural oil and spray that again just to try to get this under control. But I don't know if this leaf that you sent the picture of is typical of how much scale you have on your euonymus, but it may take a couple years to finally eradicate the whole problem. And also look on the underside leaf, because there may be some scale, and on the stems as well. So it could be in a couple different places. And so when
it is, yeah.
So when you go, you know, when you get this dormant oil to spray, spray the entire thing. Just don't spray and, you know, okay, let's just spray the outside of it because it's, you know, too much work or whatever. If you want, if you're really serious about it, you're going to have to spray stems, leaves, tops, and bottoms.
Yes, I have had some chemicals that I have spent, not sure what it was, that I got from a local big box store. And it persists, though. It keeps coming back.
Right. Because, I mean, the scale, I mean, you could kill 90% of it, but then if, you know, the female's going to lay eggs, and then, you know, there you go back again. So you go, you kind of go, oh, I give up. And then you realize, oh, my goodness, this is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Right, right. Well, I'll work on it. Because it's already taken some work, and apparently take a lot more.
Yes, it will. And it's going to be, hopefully, you know, you must love these shrubs because it's going to take a lot of work. And, you know, the foliage look pretty good, actually. So you've been taking care of the plant as well as you could, except for this insect circumstance.
Yes, they're imperative to the front appearance of the front of my house.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
So just, you know, you're going to have to watch, you know, just kind of sit there until next, you know, let's say Valentine's Day or whatever, and that's when the dormant oil goes on.
Uh-huh. Very good. Thank you very much.
Certainly. Thanks, Steve. And Mike Miller, KM West Garden Hotline. We will be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, any questions, concerns, or comments, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Realize that if you have some landscape chemicals in your garage and it's not heated, if they're liquid, there could be problems if we do get to the point where there's going to be freezing, and I'm sure they will. So just keep them up off the floor and put them on shelves and, you know, try to avoid it. And just stop, you know, you're probably better off not to buy even bargain stuff at the end of the season, because overwintering things, it could alter them a little bit. That's not to say that's going to happen. And then also with the dry goods, just make sure that you keep them off the floor as well so you don't get the condensation, because you could end up with a bag of fertilizer that's like hard as a brick if they're moist, if any kind of moisture or anything gets in there as well. So any of your landscape chemicals, just be, you know, very cautious on how much you buy and how you store them for the wintertime. Let's go to Jenny, and Jenny is in Illinois. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to know how I can keep my Montava plant, tree and through the winter so it will bloom again in the next year, and my geranium.
Geraniums, you can basically pull them out of a pot and just, you know, or you can just leave them in the pot and just put them, you know, in your basement and leave them alone. Now, what was the other, what was the tree that you were talking about?
Mantavilla? Yes.
That's a you know, that's kind of a tough one. I'd have to think about that one. Mantavilla vine. So they are, they don't do really well inside. So this may be one that's, you know, I don't, is yours yellow? Is yours red as far as flower goes? It doesn't matter what color it is. It's just these vines, when you bring them inside, they don't do well. So just bring it inside, put it in a cool room, put it in full sun, don't overwater it, and just keep your fingers crossed. But for the most part, I've tried even a couple times myself to overwinter them and then put them back outside the next year. I'm always disappointed the following year. That's not to say you're not going to have good luck with it, but the Mantavilla vine doesn't do good, you know, coming inside. So, but give it a try. Like I said, cool room, sunny window, just water it maybe once a month or so, and expect a lot of the leaves to fall off. With a geranium, because they have the big stems, just expect the geranium leaves just to turn brown. But in the springtime, when you set your geraniums back outside, cut all the brown leaves off of them and just kind of water them and treat them as you normally would.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, the Mantavilla, that's, I mean, they're so spectacular. Everybody's really attracted to them. They're almost addictive. But, boy, they're kind of like, there's some other plants that don't do so well that are tropical plants when you bring them inside because of humidity and all those other kind of problems. Let's go to Babs. Babs, how are, Babs is from Winsville. Hi, Babs.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Could you give me a quick run through on winter fertilizer, what your opinion is? Is it really that beneficial to do it? And hit on again, would you tell me when you pre-emergence?
Okay, you're talking about winter fertilizer for lawns, cool season lawns,
correct.
I'm assuming.
Correct.
If your lawn was healthy and is still healthy, I still think it's just like with anything, you're just kind of making sure that it has the nutrients, you know, just kind of keep it healthy.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily have to do it. To me, I think, you know, core aeration with a compost layer, you know, a half inch or so would be more crucial than, you know, what the winter fertilizer is. But the winter fertilizer is, you know, it is important. Now, what was your other question?
The pre-emergent.
Oh, the pre-emergent. For the warm season weeds, what you need to do is when the forsythia is in bloom, the yellow shrub in the springtime, that's when you put your pre-emergent down.
Okay, there's nothing I have to put down now.
No, nothing now because there's not anything germinating now. All the cool season weeds already germinated. They germinated back in the end of August and early September. So if you go out in your yard now, you're going to see chickweed, you're going to see henbit, you're going to see all kinds of other type things.
Was there something I should have put down then?
Yes. Another pre-emergent, because there's two different types of weeds. There's a warm season weed and there's a cool season weed. So just putting a pre-emergent down one time doesn't get rid of either one of, doesn't get rid of both of them, let's put it that way. So you should put it down once when the forsythia is in bloom, and then the second application of the pre-emergent, you put when it's mid to late August.
August, yeah. Okay, I missed that. All right, thank you. But so you're saying the winter fertilizer
will help.
Could or could not.
Yeah, it will help, you know, especially for anybody, again, before we start doing too much too much fertilizing, just spend $30 and get a soil test done because you may find out that what's in the winter fertilizer you don't need because you already have that nutrient in your soil. So you'd just be saving yourself some money and time and effort. So that's a soil test will give you a real insight into what your soil is actually, you know, nutrient level and everything else.
All right. Got it. Thanks.
All right. Let's go now to Arnold, haven't been there all day long, and going to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
I got some daylilies. They're all brown. Want to leave them alone or get the brown off?
Well, does the brown bother you?
No, it bothers the wife.
You cut it off then. Just go out there, you know, it's a nice warm day. You can just go out there. You can take, it's easy to cut. Just, you know, I mean, I wouldn't use a weed eater or something like that, but just unless you got a huge area of it, then yes, do it and just, you know, get rid of it and then rake it all up.
Yeah, but it won't hurt them to cut them back?
No, it won't hurt at all. And it doesn't necessarily help with them because they're not prone to like a lot of disease and insect problems like peonies are and some of the other perennials. That's why you definitely got to cut those things back because they can have disease problems, you know, leaf spot, black spot, all this other stuff, powdery mildew. But the daylilies are pretty much free, disease-free and insect-free both. So it's not essential with them, but it's, you know, a circumstance where just aesthetically get rid of the brown stuff.
That's it won't hurt to cut them back then.
No, not at all.
And I got some of them still turning green on me where it gets in the sun.
Yeah. I mean, because of this crazy weather we've had. So it's just been, you know, amazing. But you can cut all the green. It's the end of their growing season, even if they have some green foliage. So you don't necessarily have to worry about that. Just you can cut them all back. Cut them, to about an inch or so.
Okay. I got one more question. I got some portobello seeds. Is it okay to throw those down now or wait till?
I probably would not do it now because we just don't know what the winter is going to be like. So if it stays warm, anything may germinate. But if we get a severe cold snap, newly germinated seed of any type is going to be, you know, problematic from the standpoint of like, ooh, they're not tough enough. So I would not do it going into wintertime.
All right. Thank you a lot, Mike.
And let's see. Anwar from Chesterfield, how are you today?
Good morning. Hi. Very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Very good.
I have hydrangea in my yard, and they were blooming fantastically for several years. Then 2 years ago, I went in and clipped the flowers before the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year, there were no flowers. And I was told that I'm supposed to leave everything untouched until the spring when the new growth is coming in. This year, I started getting the flowers like in middle of October. And obviously, the first frost just came in and killed it. I have not touched those plants, and I'm just wondering, is there anything I need to do this year, or just kind of wait and keep my finger crossed for next spring?
Basically, wait. You know, do you mulch them at all? I mean, is there mulch around
the
plant?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's pretty much it. And just make sure, because it has been really dry, you know, that, you know, as before the weather gets too cold, that you go ahead and give them, you know, some water, because that's going to help the root system, and that's just going to help the overall health of the plant.
Okay, and one other question. I have a beautiful gardenia, and I brought it inside,
mm-hmm.
and it looks pretty healthy. I'm just wondering, is facing the sun, just wondering, just to water it maybe once a week, you think, or even less?
Probably less. I would just look at the inside of the pot. When you start to see the potting mix shrink from the inside of the pot, so there's a little bit of gap between the potting mix and the inside of the pot, then water it at that time. Gardenias are tough as houseplants. They may survive. Don't expect them to flower. If you do get flowers on them, that's great. That's wonderful. Just enjoy the fragrance. But beyond that, don't do too much. And back to your hydrangea, too. Are you fertilizing it?
Yes, I've been giving these blue and pink fertilizers.
Okay, so like aluminum sulfate and stuff. That's good for the flower color, but also just, you know, if the leaves look good, right size, dark green and everything else, then you're doing everything just perfect.
Okay, so the idea would be to go ahead and make sure that I do have good mulch at the base of it. Because they are so oversized, perhaps I'm not mulching it properly underneath the...
Yeah, you only need about 2 to 3 inches of mulch, so don't make it too deep or anything else.
Understood. Thank you very much for your help, and have a good day.
Well, you do the very same thing, and for everybody, we got another hour, so if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. If you got a cold season lawn, keep mowing it. What? Mowing this time of year? Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. See you after the news.
The voice of St. Louis. News Radio 1120 KMOX. KMOX HD St. Louis. 102.5 KEZK. HD3 St. Louis.